There's something mysterious and somewhat eerie about identical twins. Looking at them, one wonders what it's like to live side by side with someone who looks just like you, but is an entirely different person. That is one of the questions raised in the photograph of identical twins by Dion Arbus. It's one of modern photography's most recognizable images, and it's part of NPR's series on American icons present at the creation, NPR's Madeline Brand reports.
Sure, it's not polite to stare. Dion Arbus knew that, but she went ahead and did it anyway. She stared, and she stared for us. Arbus is best known for her pictures of dwarves, transvestites, strippers, and nudists.
I think there are things that nobody would see unless I photographed them.
Dion Arbus in an interview recorded by Studs Terkel in 1969.
When I was very gloomy, I thought that I could let somebody else photograph them. You know, just, you know, call some very good photographer up and say, why don't you photograph this or this? I just have never believed that photographs are very useful to anybody but me. I mean, my photographs. Except that I suppose I think it'd be nice to keep them, because I do think I have some slight corner on something about the quality of things.
It's that quality of things, perhaps a sense of the person's soul, that comes through in her portraits, says Jeff Rosenheim, a photography curator at New York's Metropolitan Museum. Rosenheim says Arbus's photos do not tell us what to think or what to feel.
There's no polemic. They're not meant to sell newspapers or magazines or fashion. They were not meant to sell the artist as an artist to be shown at the Museum of Modern Art. They're very personal, very subjective. I guess they're revolutionary because they're still, to me, as mysterious as they must have been when they were first seen in the 60s in New York.
One of her best-known photos is Identical Twins, taken in 1967. It's a portrait of two little girls, maybe they're 7 or 8 years old. They're wearing matching outfits, white tights, corduroy dresses, and thick white headbands in their dark hair. The girls stand shoulder to shoulder, their light eyes looking straight into the camera, straight at us. And the more you look back at them, the more you stare, the more you realize how different they are from each other.
Perhaps that's what it's about.
Photographer Neil Selkirk, he's been printing Arbus's photographs since her death in 1971.
Just look at the set of their mouths. They're different people looking at different worlds, and yet they might be the same person.
Identical Twins has been called the iconic Arbus photo. It's on the cover of her first book of photography, published in 1972, a year after she committed suicide. That book, known as the Aperture Monograph, is still among the best-selling photography books in the country. Biographer Patricia Bosworth says the photo encapsulates Arbus's vision.
She was very interested and involved in the whole question of identity and who am I? Who are you? The twin image expresses the crux of her vision, which is the freakish and normality and the normality and freakishness.
Arbus was part of a new wave of street photographers in the 1960s who were taking a more subjective approach to documentary photography. But at the time, no one went as far as she did to get the shots of people on the fringe, says Jeff Rosenheim.
None of them took as many risks as Arbus did in their personal lives with the camera. Arbus's process was very different. She would meet people and arrange to make their photographs primarily in their own environments, in their own homes or apartments or on the street or in Central Park. It's very emotionally risky. It's hard to speak to someone you don't know and ask them to make a photograph. But she had this ability to get people to open up to her and to share their lives, at least for a moment, with her, and therefore with us.
Almost nothing is known about how she got the picture of the twins. The only clue is the title of the photo, Identical Twins, Roselle, New Jersey, 1967. One theory is that she found the girls at a twins convention, another that she just saw them on the street in New Jersey and took their picture. Neil Selkirk says there are fewer than 10 negatives on the roll, so it appears she got the photo she wanted fairly quickly. But with other people, it took longer. The photo of Eddie Carmel, the Jewish giant, in his living room with his parents took 10 years to get, says author Patricia Bosworth.
10 whole years she photographed the Jewish giant and his family. And what she wanted to get, the look in the mother's face, oh my God, I have borne this freak. And she got it.
It may be tempting to write off Arbus as simply a voyeur, as someone titillated by the obscene, but Arbus was genuinely interested in getting to know people on the fringe. She once said, most people go through life dreading they'll have a traumatic experience. Freaks were born with their trauma. They've already passed their test in life. They are aristocrats. Dion Arbus was somewhat of an aristocrat herself. She grew up on Manhattan's Upper West Side, a wealthy daughter of a department store owner, says Patricia Bosworth.
She began her life as a very privileged little girl, rich, pampered with nannies and nurses and butlers and maids in that big apartment that she lived in with her family on Central Park West. And she always felt very isolated when she was a teenager. She and this friend of hers would go on the subway and go down to the Lower East Side and follow bums and bag ladies down the street. She didn't photograph them, but she watched them and observed them. She was fascinated by them.
One of the things I felt I suffered from was that I never felt adversity.
Dion Arbus in 1969.
The outside world was so far from us, so inimical, and not in the sense of that it was evil. You know, the doors were shut, that was all. One didn't ever expect to encounter it.
It's been 30 years since Arbus became widely known. Her influence can be seen everywhere, in magazines, in movies, in journalism, in the culture's insistence that nothing and no one is off-limits to explore or to document. As the Met's Jeff Rosenheim says, she was one of the first to make it clear that the camera should go to every aspect of our society if it is to go anywhere.
When you see an Arbus photograph and you go out into the world and you get on the subway or you look across the street at the person who's living the same life that you're living but slightly differently, you see the world differently. It's a transformative experience having witnessed Arbus's work or having seen an Arbus photograph. You do look at the world differently. You can't not.
There will be a huge retrospective of Arbus's work next year. Rosenheim expects it to attract a sellout crowd at the Met. Among photographs never seen before, identical twins will be there, staring right at us. Madeline Brand, NPR News, New York.